Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to begin a new section of our study and look at what the Apostle John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you, you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, 2,000 years ago, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus one of the most important questions of all time, and one that we need to ask ourselves today. When Jesus stood before this hard-hearted Roman dignitary, Pilate asked Jesus in John 18:38, "What is truth?" Now we live in a time of great upheaval about the issue of truth, as we see science and technology and government and the financial markets cause many of the things that we depended on at one time and things we believed in and trusted to go by the wayside. When I was a child, people died when they had a heart attack. We had one channel to watch on our black and white television. The telephone in our house was located in the hallway. It was against the law in Mississippi for the Republican Party to hold elections. The word gay meant happy. 96% of all married women stayed home and raised their children. Women wore earrings, and they wore them in their ears, and Pluto was the ninth planet in our solar system. Today, people can get heart transplants when their own heart goes out. We have hundreds of channels to look at in high-definition digital color. Each person has their own cell phone with their own number. The Republican Party is the majority political party in Mississippi. The word gay means sexually perverted. And only 4% of all married women stay home to raise their children. And both men and women wear rings in various parts of their body. And Pluto is no longer considered to be a planet at all. So many things have changed in my lifetime. And some of these changes are for the better, and they have improved our lives exponentially. And these changes have brought much comfort and prosperity to us. But some of these changes in our lives have also brought about massive shifts in economics, and they have changed the way we look at things, and social and family values have suffered tremendously as a result of these changes. What was out is now in. What was up is now down. What was unacceptable is now acceptable, and what was acceptable is now unacceptable. Right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now considered to be right. So many people today are tempted to be like Pilate and ask the question, what is truth? Now, according to many observers, the issue of what truth actually is has suffered tremendously. And that suffering has gone on for so long now and has affected so many that today most people actually do not know what truth really is anymore. And many more than that do not even believe that it is possible that objective, propositional, absolute truth exists, much less understand it and much less actually obey it. From Adam in the garden until the first century, this world lived under the basic assumption that there was such a thing as absolute truth. Up was always up and was never down. Work was honorable, even the most menial tasks. Early to bed and early to rise was the mantra that built fantastic civilizations and planted economic prosperity and brought forth goods and services. And Western civilization was built upon the premise that the scriptures contained not just truth, but divine truth, inspired truth, inerrant truth, infallible truth, authoritative truth, relevant truth, and eternal truth. And this truth was steadfast. It never changed. It never wavered. It was absolute. Because this truth came from the very mind and heart and mouth of Almighty God, the one true living God, who is the creator and owner of the universe. So the issues of what was right and what was wrong in Western culture was always based upon English common law. And English common law was based upon morality, and morality was based upon the divine revelation of the Ten Commandments. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person in America was a Christian at some point in history. That has never been true, and sadly, that will probably never be true. There were Muslims and Buddhists and atheists and evil men who lived and worked in this country from the very beginning. But the premise on which the nation was built was that the Bible contained divine truth, and law was based on that divine truth. So Western civilization bought into the notion that God did indeed reveal himself to Abraham, and that God dealt with the Jew as his chosen people, and that God gave these people their language and their nation and their laws and their civilization, and he sent them his prophets to call them to repentance when they went astray, and he dealt with them to the exclusion of every other nation on earth. And what was even better than all of that is that God gave them his word, the absolute truth that was the foundation of their entire civilization. And Western civilization also bought into the notion that through Jesus Christ, the highest, best, and final revelation of God was given to man. And so Western civilization was based upon a biblical ethic. So since stealing and murder and sexual perverseness and the dishonoring of parents and the mistreatment of women and children were sins according to ancient scripture, and since they were deemed to be immoral behavior by God, therefore, at least in the West, they were also deemed to be unacceptable behavior and also became crimes. Even in other cultures, which did not base the foundation of their civilizations on sacred scripture, they also believed that divine truth was a real, tangible concept. Now, their truth was based upon their various writings from their various gods, but even though these so-called truths were wrong and were not inspired, they were nevertheless firm and unchangeable and absolute. But around the first century AD, men began to do exactly what God said they would do. God said that if a people will not worship and love and honor and obey the one true living God, then they will be turned over to a reprobate mind, and they will worship and serve part or all of the creation rather than the Creator. So man began to worship himself, and he began to worship his own mind and his own ability to build and to plant and to invent. And so science and discovery and technology and finances became the gods to whom man honored and obeyed and loved and served and worshiped. But there was an unforeseen consequence to man leaving God and going after his idols. Suddenly truth, objective propositional truth, absolute truth, truth that was firm and steadfast and reliable and dependable, suddenly changed. Truth became variable. Truth became less sure, less reliable, less trustworthy, and less dependable, and everything became relative. Objective truth became subjective truth. Authoritative truth was stripped of its authority. Absolute truth lost its absoluteness. And one of the best ways to look at this is to use the analogy of a baseball game. Under objective truth, the kind of truth that the Bible gives, a ball is a ball and a strike is a strike. And under that system, it doesn't matter who is at bat, it doesn't matter how well-meaning the batter is, it doesn't matter how popular he might be or how badly he wants to win. A ball is always a ball, and a strike is always a strike. And so under that absolute system, if the batter gets four balls, he goes to first base. And if he gets three strikes, he's out. That's objective, propositional, absolute truth. And while to some, the concept of objective truth seems to be harsh and unmerciful and unkind and unloving, in actuality, objective truth is reliable and trustworthy and dependable and steadfast and like a rock. And curiously enough, objective truth is the only way that we can play the game or live in this world without chaos. But in spite of that, people soon sought after a kinder and gentler truth that would not be so clear and wouldn't be so cut and dried. And so under the new modern approach to truth, truth was not so clear as it once was. And suddenly, people began to say how naive and foolish it was to say that a ball is always a ball and a strike would always be a strike. These people said that truth had to take into account other factors, such as how much the batter had trained and how badly he needed to win and what a great guy he might be. And so it no longer mattered what the pitch actually was. Under the new way of looking at truth, a ball might very well be a strike or even a home run. And a loser could actually be a winner, and a winner could actually become a loser. And the result that was that truth became so complicated that only a few elite people were able to interpret it. The common man became confused about truth, and that confusion filtered down into what was right and wrong, and what was acceptable to God, and what was not acceptable. And this is the confused mess that the Apostle John was born into. During his life, truth was trampled underfoot, and everybody had their own opinions and their own interpretation of truth, and so men did what was right in their own eyes. So as John and the other apostles were establishing Christianity in the earth, they were moved along by God the Holy Spirit to write down inspired words which redefined what absolute truth was and what was simply the invention of man. So it was the writers of Scripture who defined what salvation is and what heaven is and how lost people are justified before God and how God converts the human soul. It was through the pen of these writers and from these writers alone that we learn all that we know that is true about the character and the nature of God in the person of Jesus Christ in the gospel. So here in this passage at the end of chapter 2, John gives us another test of true, genuine salvation. As you may recall, John has already given us his moral test of true conversion, that anyone who has been born from above will in fact serve Jesus Christ. And John has given us his test of love, in that everyone who is saved will love everybody else who is saved. And we've also just finished the worldly test that John gave us in verses 15 through 17, when he said that if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now here in this passage, John gives us the test of truth. John teaches that all those who are truly regenerate by a sovereign miracle from God will love and seek after, and they will comprehend and obey and follow after and honor and proclaim and defend divine, objective, propositional, absolute truth. And as we will learn from these exciting verses, people who are truly saved don't just know the truth. Saved people love the truth. Because you cannot separate between who God is from what God said. And so because we love God, we also love what God has said. And part of our responsibility as believers, yea, part of our great honor and privilege as we worship God, is to willingly and graciously submit ourselves to that which God has said and inspired and supernaturally preserved for us in sacred Scripture. So hold on to your hats as we go into John's test of truth. And please join with me on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.